sanity for a change. It's the Rick Smith Show.
Heaven knocking on the door that holds the throne. I've been looking for the map that leads me home. I've been stumbling on good hearts turned to stone. The road of good intentions is going dry as a bone. We take care of our own.
Well, at least we used to.
We take
look at this health care bill, and I got to tell you, there's nothing good here as far as I'm concerned. And again, the whole reason I'm looking at Wisconsin's first congressional district as that moment of symbolic importance to where the person in really responsible for a big part of this, be it the health care bill, be it the budget, be it the ideological, you know, more for the wealthy, less for working people, Paul Ryan is a guy who has to go. And I'm thrilled to see that there are people willing to take him on and hopefully take him out. And the next guest is someone who is doing that and has a fantastic video. I highly suggest Kathy Myers is running her website, KathyMyersForCongress.com. We'll get a link at TheRickSmithShow.com. Kathy, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I guess the first question I ask any person who throws their hat into the political arena, why?
Well, I am running for a few reasons. There were a number of things that happened just recently. One of the shoes that dropped, so to speak, recently was the health care bill that I heard you talking about just a few minutes ago. It is appalling that Paul Ryan is talking about taking health care away from millions and millions of people. That what he's talking about would take health care away from this young boy I met recently named Jack, who has an immune deficiency. It's a genetic trait, and his parents are already spending thousands and thousands of dollars every year, and even with insurance. But these, you know, what's happening, of course, is that the decisions made about Jack's health care are sometimes reliant on non-professionals, on people who work in the healthcare industry and not your doctor. And I think that's wrong as well. I also have pre-existing conditions, and people with pre-existing conditions are likely to lose their health care or have to pay so much that they can't afford it anymore. And I'm a high school English teacher and on the school board in Janesville. And the Medicaid cuts would profoundly affect special ed students who, by the way, these are, you know, students who deserve an education and deserve the best possible education that we can provide them with.
Now, I mean, again, you come back to this moment in time where, I've been saying, you know, I'm old enough to remember when there were things that were, you know, it didn't matter what your political ideology was or your party affiliation, that we did, all of us together, because we all lived similar lives. Like, we wanted good education for our kids. We wanted good infrastructure. We wanted safe neighborhoods. We wanted people to get health care and not, well, we didn't want to kick the vulnerable and the downtrodden. It just seems that we're at this moment, Kathy, where, you know, we're being ripped apart by this hooray for me and screw you ideology.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge divide, right? I mean, the shrinking middle class, the constraints that have been placed and the things that have happened in order to shrink that, I think it's been done purposely to try to divide people. I was raised, you know, by a small business owner. We owned a truck stop. It was like family. And we all cared about each other. We worked really hard in order to improve the business. As a matter of fact, people, entire families worked for our family. And so, you know, it was kind of a common cause. And we understood that when one of us was having a problem, medical or otherwise, all of us were having a problem, medical or otherwise, and that we could not be as good of a business, and we could not operate as well if people's lives were affected. And it's especially true with the disappearing middle class.
Yeah.
You know, it's impossible for, you don't get that kind of connectivity either. You know, if people are working two or three jobs just to try to put food on the table, because a single family supporting job doesn't exist anymore.
And again, to me, that's the result of the attack on labor unions. And I look at, you know, in your neck of the woods, Back in 2011, we spent almost 2 weeks sleeping on the granite floor of your Capitol when Scott Walker was pushing through his Act 10. And, you know, I remember saying, you know, this is the beginning of the next wave of assaults on the work, on a prosperous working class, and really the destruction of that New Deal, that destruction of my grandparents' generation of work hard, play by the rules, get ahead.
Yeah, that absolutely is true. And I was there, walking, in the snow and, you know, and I was there when the farmers came in and, I was there when the senators came back. I also, you know, was a union leader. I am a member of the Hananiga Education Association, which of course is an affiliate of the NEA. And I was my union president and vice president. I was also on strike in 2003 for 3 weeks. And, you know, that was, by the way, and that strike, I want to point out, was not about money. It was about working conditions, which is, of course, one of the things that Act 10 did, right, is take away working conditions. Now, thankfully, I work in Illinois as a teacher where that has not happened yet. But working conditions are a huge part of what, a huge importance to teachers. This was about whether or not we got, a certain number of prep periods a day, which means that we serve kids better. And so it was, you know, an incredible thing. I ended up kind of being the strike leader, in that case. It was an incredibly emotional time, lots of up and downs, but I gotta tell you, the one thing that struck me about that was that we prevailed because we understood who we were. We knew what we were fighting for, which was to help kids. And the beauty of it was how we all came together. You know, there's a lot of political currency out there, and one of them is the currency of people who gather together because they understand what's right and they stick up for it.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, one of the things I've been saying is maybe Trump is a blessing in disguise, because, you know, for so long we haven't been talking to each other. For so long we've been, you know, kind of in our silos and torn apart and divided. Do you think there's a possibility of that kind of thinking that you just laid out being the America that I remember, and maybe the America of the future, to where again we come back to the town squares and we again talk to our neighbors and we again push for sanity? Because look, I'm looking at 2018 and I'm hoping that people who are running for political office will move us somewhere towards that sane line.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's signs of that. So the Women's March is an example of that. The Latinos March in Milwaukee is an example of that. I also happen to be a founding member of something called Democracy Rocks, which has become an indivisible group. And, you know, they're just indivisible groups springing up all over the place. And people are, and oftentimes we're joining together, you know, in order to, you know, either hold events or have town halls or things like that in order to spread the word and to connect people with each other, and so that they can make change in their communities. So I'm certainly hopeful that that's what's happening. You know, I would love to see that happen. It's time for neighbors to start talking to neighbors again.
Yeah. And look, in your district there, in the first district in Wisconsin, I mean, do people understand that Paul Ryan... Are you getting people who are coming around to the reality that his ideology, his anti, you know, his hatred of Medicaid and the social safety net that he benefited from, you know, that he's just toxic and has to go? Do you get a sense of that?
Oh, yes, I do. You know, they are appalled at the extent of the money that he has, and you know, and the fact that he hasn't come back here for town halls. He's not representing people. He's not talking to us anymore because, frankly, you know, I know that I can't cut him a check for $10,000 for a picture, and most people in this town can't cut him a check for that.
I wouldn't want one.
What if we cut it in half, right? Maybe with a coupon or something. I don't know. But anyway, but you know, the fact that he doesn't seem to represent us anymore seems to be happening now that people are beginning to realize that. And, you know, the billionaire donors that are financing him, you know, that's, That's not our world, right? He doesn't understand what ordinary people's lives are like. He doesn't understand what it means to sit down at the kitchen table, look over your bills, right? Look over your income and have to make decisions on a daily basis or take on an extra job as I have before when things were tight. You know, and also the whole issue with healthcare. A lot of people are discovering that this could be taken away from him. People could see premiums rise from $6,800 to $20,000, according to the CBO report, especially if you're like a 64-year-old with middle income. So this is a devastating occurrence for, average people. And Paul Ryan has congressional health care, right? He doesn't even have to think about it, and he doesn't get it.
Yeah, and he's rich enough where it wouldn't matter anyway. Because he can afford whatever may happen. So you're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Kathy Myers, Kathy Myers for Congress.com. We'll get a link at the RickSmithShow.com. I suggest you check out her video. I want to bang through a couple of questions people sent. Dawn asked the question on Twitter, what is your number one hot button issue and how do you plan to negotiate support from across the aisle?
Well, my number one hot button issue is healthcare. I think that, again, a lot of people are realizing the impact that this will have on them, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. I think it is entirely possible for people to come together, people that you might think have competing interests, to come together and solve these problems. And I've done that in my own life. I've done it on the school board. I'm also going to be delivering petitions to Senator Ron Johnson's office on Thursday at noon in Milwaukee to let him know that an ACA repeal would mean the death of sentence for kids with pre-existing conditions. Don't you think all across the aisle we can get together that kids with pre-existing conditions should not have to worry about whether or not they, live or die?
I used to believe we could, Kathy.
I'm going to hold on to that. I have some hope for this country and for the people in it. I've seen a lot of really good people. I know people genuinely care about other people, and I'm going to hold on to that hope.
Love your optimism.
Thank you. Oh, and by the way, I just want to make sure that people understand that Kathy, with Kathy Myers for Congress, Kathy is spelled with a C, and Myers is M-Y-E-R-S. Yeah, there's tons of ways to spell that.
We'll make sure we get a link at the RickSmithShow.com so there's no confusion. You just bang right through there. But on the healthcare front, another person asked, are you in favor of a single payer system, a Medicare for all kind of thing?
Yes. Unequivocally.
That was simple, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really is simple. Every other industrialized nation in the world can do this. I think America is one of the greatest places. Really, I do. I love this place. I don't see why we can't do things for people that smaller countries can do for people. And I think that I think it's a better way to support small business owners. I would love, my family owned a small business, right? It was it helped frame us. It gave me, I think, a lot of valuable experience. I was taught what it's like, average people that work there, what their lives were like and everything else. So it gives people a chance even to start small businesses if they want, frees them up. I just think that, yes, we can fix this and we can do this.
Yeah, I mean, as a truck driver, I used to love the small family-owned truck stops. Sadly, they are almost non-existent today. When you look at these big, these big monopolies that have taken over and crushed small business. And that's hopefully something you'll address down the road. I did want to ask another question. Terry asked, what's your position as an educator and as someone on a school board? What's your position of funding charters and vouchers with public money intended for schools that serve all children?
So I am not a supporter of voucher schools. I think that voucher schools, so to me, okay, one of the cornerstones of democracy and one of the cornerstones of the greatness of this country is public education. I know that and public education has been suffering for a while. I think that voucher schools don't necessarily have to live up to the same expectations as public schools. There's less accountability. See, we're sending public money to private institutions, to private entities that do not have to provide the same level of service, are not expected to provide the same data as public educators. And I guess in this age of accountability, I don't know why anybody would think that that's okay.
I'm right there with you. Last bit of questioning I've got for you comes on the attacks in Wisconsin. And Brown Points asks, do recent Dem losses in Michigan and Wisconsin have a lot to do with right-to-work laws and anti-union measures?
Well, yeah, I think that I think that there seems to be like an anti-union bent every so once in a while, and that's possible. But what I think is that this is a point in time where people need to come together to support working ideals and middle class values. And that, you know, those things are represented oftentimes in public unions and as well as in private unions. You mentioned the divisiveness, right? The us versus them mentality. And I think that the time has come, and I think people are beginning to see it, that if we do not, as a group, right, of ordinary citizens, stand up to the 99%, to the billionaire class, to the monopolies and the corporations, then it's going to be devastating. I think people are beginning to see that, and I think that I have optimism. I believe in people. I believe in this country, and I think that if we get together, if we do this together. If I had a dollar for every American who Paul Ryan wants to rip off of healthcare, I could win this, and we could be a voice for working people.
There you go. And people can go to your website and help you out. Real quick, Celeste asks, where do you stand on $15 minimum wage?
Well, I think that we need to have family-supporting wages, everywhere. I think that $15 an hour is a good wage, is a good start. I think that as a school board member, I believe in a certain level of local control. So I think that sometimes there are communities that might need to evaluate that. I support prevailing wage, which has been under attack in Wisconsin. But I think $15 an hour. I have two kids. They're awesome. They're in their 20s. And, when they first started out, they weren't even making $15 an hour. They have a college degree. They did everything I asked them to do, you know. They got good grades. They went to college. They studied hard. And they weren't getting paid $15 an hour. And it was really difficult. So it was kind of like this real, gut punch for them that, wait a minute, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I don't even earn a living wage. Yep. Now, for them, but let's think about other people too. So the person that works at store or in other industries or whatever, those people have families or want to have families, and I think that a living wage is vital. It really benefits all of us. That person that makes a living wage is going to pay taxes,
yep.
Right? That person that makes a living wage is going to go buy a house for an area realtor. That person that makes a living wage is going to buy something from a local store or a restaurant or whatever. This is part of the cycle. And if we don't have living wages, then we have put we've taken a spoke out of the wheel. Right? And that wheel doesn't move anymore. And so I think that a living wage is vital to the success of this country.
There you go. And for me, that's one of those issues of it's about returning reward to work and that promise of if you work hard, you play by the rules, that you actually do get ahead. Kathy, I appreciate you taking time for us. I wish you the best. I hope people will check out your website. And I'd love to have you come back again and talk to us at some point in the future.
Thank you. I'd love that too.
Great stuff. Kathy Myers for Congress. Kathy with the C. MyersforCongress.com. We'll get a link at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Good looking people.
We gotta take time.